welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm Matt Maiocco.
Are we doing that again where you just pause and then I'm supposed to just say I'm Laura Britt?
That's kind of
Is that what I do here?
That's what I was setting you up to do, yes.
Oh, okay. I'm Laura Britt. Maiocco, I have been teasing on Twitter that we've got a juicy podcast today.
Yes.
And oh, do we ever. So Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch held a press conference on Monday.
Oh, hold it. By juicy press or juicy podcast, you're not talking about my family's NC2A tournament brackets?
No.
Okay, there's first
Wait, hold
place.
On. I have a question. I've got
there's
a question.
There's second place. There's third place. And here's mine.
Yeah. Wow, the winner of the – what do you get?
Well, for last place, not
Oh,
mine.
I thought you said you were first place.
No.
Oh, you're last place.
I'm a distant last.
Who won?
It's looking more and more like Lucy.
Okay.
But the NC2A tournament has been fantastic, but the last week of 49ers football – and just the NFL in general, whoa. And you're right. It is a very juicy podcast, 49ers Talk, because we have a lot to talk about.
Before we move on to that, I've got to hash something out with you.
Okay.
I've noticed that maybe it's out here. Maybe it's just the people I'm talking to say NC2A out here, but NCAA is how I've always grown up.
Oh, NCAA, NC2A. It's interchangeable. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've just never heard NC2A until – the past month or two, and yeah, I've always said NCAA.
And I can't even tell you what I said. Did I say NC2A?
You said NC2A.
Okay. Well, okay. I'd say two is one syllable, double is two syllables, and so therefore I'm all about economy of words and syllables.
Trying to make your life easy is what you're all about.
Yes. And you know what? The 49ers did not necessarily make their life easy last week because there's a lot of pressure on them. You know, anytime you trade up from 12 to number three, you know, when you're 12, you can kind of sit back and let the draft come to you. And in a lot of ways, you know, your next move is kind of dictated by what the teams in front of you do. But when you're at number three and the first two picks are pretty much guaranteed, and I shouldn't say guaranteed. Yeah, what the heck? Let's go guaranteed.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. If you moved up to three, you better get one heck of a player, and you also better know who that player is going to be.
Fair to say that this pick will solidify what people think about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan forever. It's going to go down in history books for the 49ers. If they are successful with this pick, that is what the belief system about these two will be. If they're unsuccessful with this pick, that's what people will always remember about them here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, in the last couple of days, I've spoken to three longtime NFL scouts.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, and one of them had this to say, and I think it's appropriate. He said, man, I really respect what Kyle and John are doing. He says, they're not afraid to make a big move. I respect that. They identified their guy, and now let's go get him. So that tells you, you know, I think around the league, there's a lot of debate of what the 49ers should do. But, and I think that there's a lot of debate with any of those three picks that they will end up with. They're going to end up with either Justin Fields, Trey Lance, or Mac Jones. And you ask a lot of people around the league, they all have kind of different opinions of who the 49ers should take. But it seems to me that there's turning into a consensus of who people around the league believe the 49ers will take.
And that's Justin Fields, right? Are you saying you think people say Mac Jones?
100%.
I'm still getting a lot of people saying that think the 49ers should take Justin Fields.
Well, if you saw the Twitter poll, it was like 66%.
That's what I'm saying. Fans. So I think the belief is that people think they're going to take Justin Fields.
Well, you're talking about the fans. I'm talking about people in the NFL.
The people in the know.
Yes, the people in the know.
Chris Sims in the know. That was actually a funny moment in the press conference on Monday. One of the reporters asked Kyle Shanahan. I appreciate that this person asked this question straight up. So does Chris Sims basically know what he's talking about. That's what the question was. Do you tell him everything? Kyle Shanahan jokingly responded, yeah, tell him everything, and was smiling. So
Or was he joking?
He did go on later to talk about Chris Sims's knowledge and the fact that Sims was considering being on the coaching side of things, but he didn't like the hours and that Shanahan totally understood that. But he does respect what Chris Sims has to say, and he does respect his opinion. So I thought that was interesting. I want to get back to the risk factor, because Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both weighed in on that on during Monday's press conference. Shanahan weighed in on why they were willing to take that risk and what went into the decision to trade up. Take a listen to this.
This is a risk we were willing to take. We looked at how our 4 years have gone. We looked at how we want the next 4 years to go. And we looked where we're at in the draft and the options that are there. And that's why sitting there looking at this stuff since January and going all the way through the process, we felt pretty strongly we were going to get left at the altar sitting there at 12, the way that we think this draft's going to go and the way all these candidates are and the way a lot of teams are in a position trying to take a risk to fill that need that I just said about. I mean, almost every team's in that position except, 10 of them. So, yeah, it's a risk, but that's every season in this league's a risk.
And I think that is the big question about the 49ers making this move is, why all the way up to 3? And yes, you're taking a big risk when you're giving up a first-round draft pick next year, another one in 2023, as well as a third-round pick in 2022. But it all kind of goes back to what we're saying is that you have to take those risks. And the 49ers are taking that risk. They could have easily have stood pat at 12. They could have taken a cornerback. But there is that commitment to go ahead and get a quarterback in this draft, because Jimmy has been injured, and I don't think Jimmy's perfect. And we've talked about this. I think Jimmy, there's a part of him that really frustrates Kyle, because I think he feels like Garoppolo has left more plays out there than what Kyle would like to see him make. But also, I think it just really goes back to the availability that Garoppolo has missed basically two of the past three seasons due to injuries.
Yeah, and that's what Kyle Shanahan was talking about. Some people might ask, well, why would you do the trade early? And John Lynch admitted that they did pay a premium for doing the trade early, but he said something that stuck with him from when he was at Stanford. And Bill Walsh used to always say, you've got to beat your opponent to the punch. Mm-hmm. And so he admitted that, yes, we might have paid a premium, but that's the mindset that they had behind why they decided to do the deal early.
49ers Talk is brought to you by Planet Orange, effective eco-friendly pest control. One of the fascinating parts about this is that the 49ers do have a quarterback. He's making $25 million a year, and this sends a clear signal to him and to the entire football world that Jimmy Garoppolo will not be the 49ers' long-term quarterback. But the 49ers have been steadfast since they made that trade on Friday, that Garoppolo still factors into the team's plans for 2021 as the short-term quarterback. And Laura, I'm not sure I 100% believe that Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback. I think there's a good chance, decent chance, but whomever they bring in as the rookie, if that guy lights it up. Oh, and one more thing. NFL today sent out a memo to the clubs that they should expect to begin their offseason programs virtually, but there's an anticipation that teams will get on the field in the offseason, and that would certainly help a rookie quarterback get up to speed for the regular season. So the 49ers might be saying that they expect Garoppolo to be the quarterback, but I still think a lot has to be determined before that becomes a reality.
The only reason I still hold a belief in that it will be Jimmy G is I believe it was Shanahan went on kind of a deep dive after somebody asked him a question about, trade offers and would they be willing to listen to trade offers on Jimmy Garoppolo. He made a joke and said every player on the team, including himself, is available for trade. And then, John Lynch was basically like, no, and they had a good laugh after that. But all that to say is he did admit that they would be willing to listen to a trade. But he followed that up by saying that any rookie quarterback that comes in They've got to be confident enough that the rookie can run the system. And he admitted that he's not there yet. Obviously, the rookie quarterback they don't even have yet. So that makes sense, but that they are comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo running the offense. And the other thing that factors into my belief that Jimmy G will be the starting quarterback for at least the beginning of the 2021 season is that this wasn't a one-off. They didn't say, oh, we like Jimmy. Oh, he's going to be the starter. Move on. Never talk about it again. Hey, we've already answered that question. They did not say that. They had very high praise for Jimmy. They went back time and time again about their confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. The fact that he's missed basically 2 out of 3 seasons was the big problem. They really like Jimmy the person. They really like how efficient he is when he is on the field. They really like that they can win football games when he is on the field. There's also the factor of when he's not, and they had to do something about that for the organization, which is why they made the move. I'm just still under the belief that Jimmy G is their guy, at least to start. And I think even on the last podcast, I was saying he's going to be the starter for the entire season. This is your fault. You started to chip away at that a little bit for me. Now I'm thinking maybe they let the rookie come in earlier. I don't know. I do think Jimmy will be the starter to start the season. I'm confidently saying that right now.
Here's the one thing the 49ers are confident in, that if Jimmy Garoppolo is indeed the starting quarterback for the team in 2021, that they'll be getting the best version of Jimmy Garoppolo because he'll have something to prove. And here's what Kyle Shanahan said about what he thinks Jimmy Garoppolo thought of the 49ers move up from 12 to number 3 to take a rookie quarterback.
I'm sure Jimmy was a little pissed off from it, just like I would be too. But me knowing Jimmy, he'll be fired up and come in and he'll work his butt off. And knowing Jimmy, the more mad Jimmy gets, usually the better he gets. So it's, you know, Jimmy just gets madder and he stays healthy. I mean, this is going to be a good thing for Jimmy too, which could be a great problem for the 49ers. I hope Jimmy's all right with it, and I expect him to be. And I'm excited to have him come in here and see what he's been doing when he's away. And hopefully we'll have a team here that we can work and practice with, which, as John just said, I think will eventually happen.
Hey, Laura, I just had a thought that, you know, I think the perfect thing for the 49ers would be to also have Nick Mullins on the team because, you know, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is very good. He's a good professional. He will help the rookie quarterback, but you just wonder how much he will help the rookie quarterback. I think Nick Mullins, with his knowledge of the system and his temperament and everything else, I think Nick would be a really good number 3 quarterback to be able to spend time with that rookie, whomever it might be, and kind of help bring him up to speed. Because I think Nick has a pretty good idea of where he fits into the whole football landscape. And I think he knows that in order for him to have a long career, he's going to have to be a good teammate and be somebody who's accommodating and puts himself out there and helps young players. So as Nick Mullins rehabs from elbow surgery, I think that would be a pretty good move to bring him back.
I think so too. And I think Nick Mullins has proved what kind of teammate he is. When it was his turn to start, you heard all the stories about how he listened to crowd noise in his headphones. Every single game he was prepared to go out there as if he were the starter. And that's a mental hurdle that I don't know that I could overcome. That's really tough to do day in and day out to prepare as if you're the starter when the probability at the beginning of when you think you're going to be when you're a backup quarterback is that you're most likely not. One thing that did come to mind that's very consistent when the 49ers talk about Jimmy G, and it's the first thing that I thought of when Shanahan was speaking about how when he's mad, he tends to play better. Mm-hmm. Do you remember last season in one of the press conferences, he said, I think it was after a game that they had won, and maybe it was 2019, I can't remember, but he said, I should just hit Jimmy G with a 2x4 because he plays better angry. Do you remember that?
I don't, but that does ring a bell, and I think that you mentioned that.
So apparently it's a thing that when Jimmy's angry, he plays better, or after he takes a hit is what he was talking about. Yeah, so after he takes a hit, it kind of spurs this anger within him, and that's why he brought up the 2x4 thing. But
I have a feeling Jimmy would have hit Kyle with a 2x4 when he called him on Friday.
Probably so. And I saw some reaction that I thought was unwarranted on Twitter saying that he shouldn't be mad if he has this conversation with Jimmy's reaction was poor to what Kyle Shanahan was saying. And I believe quite the contrary. If you're a competitor, you want to be the starting quarterback. If you have that in you, if you believe that you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, you better darn believe and be mad when you're not in that position. And just being around NFL players on 49ers pre and post game live and just our colleagues at NBC Sports, they have that competitive spirit even to this day in TV.
Yeah.
It's within you. And so I completely disagree with the narrative that he should just take it and not be concerned. That would show me more than him being mad.
I agree with you. And I remember when Akella Witherspoon got benched in the playoffs in 2019, and I talked to him afterward and I said, man, were you upset? Were you frustrated that you got benched? And he was like, no, not at all. It's football. It happens in football. And I walked away from that going, I think that's the wrong attitude to have.
That's the wrong answer. There's a right and a wrong answer, and I think that's the wrong one.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back after this word from Big O Tires, let's talk about the 49ers' options with that number 3 overall pick and which quarterbacks they're looking at.
At Big O, we're proud to call you neighbor. Get up to $150 in savings. Save up to $100 instantly on select tires. Plus, get $50 by mail-in rebate on purchases of $500 or more on your Big O credit card. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Hey, Laura.
Mayoko.
We're back on 49ers Talk. And you know something, Laura? This might surprise you.
What?
Just like you're not a doctor, I'm not a scout.
I thought that you were this whole time.
No, I'm not a scout. So that means I don't watch hours and hours of film on these prospects. But what I try to do is I try to talk to as many people in the know and people who know what the heck they're talking about, people who have more access and information than I do. So through that process, there's something that really, you know, I think it's widespread and it's a firm belief within the NFL that the most likely guy, no one has told me, no one has said Mac Jones is the guy, that's who the 49ers are going to take. But all these very informed people that I've talked to,
give us all the dirt.
The overwhelming consensus is that Mac Jones is going to be the 49ers pick at number 3. And now I say that, and I'll also tell you, I've talked to 3 scouts in the last 2 days, and they're all longtime NFL scouts, and they have differing opinions about who they would take if they were the 49ers, but they all agree that they believe the 49ers are going to take Mac Jones.
That's a little bit surprising. I imagine it's surprising to our listeners because of your poll.
Yeah.
How many people weighed in on that? 11,000 people. And
we did it again because remember last week I told you I misspelled Justin Fields' name. Yeah.
Oh, so you went back and did it again.
Yeah, I went back and did it.
That's dedication.
Well, that's also called covering your butt. But anyway, I spelled his name correctly this time. It's Fields, not Field. And 13,333 people responded. 67% said Justin Fields. That's more than the first time I asked, I think on Friday. And Mac Jones, who was up in the 20% range, 25%, something like that on Friday, he dropped to like 9%. So fans
don't see. This is a shock to people.
It's a shock to people, yes. But one person it's not a shock to, or at least we don't know what the 49ers are going to do. No one knows except for Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Adam Peters. That's probably about it.
And they want to keep people guessing.
I guess so. But one guy whose opinion I think means a lot just because of how well he knows Kyle Shanahan, how much they talk about football, how much he knows what Kyle Shanahan values in a quarterback, that's Chris Sims. And this is what Chris Sims had to say on Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio.
I think that's why a lot of people think it's Mac Jones as far as who the 49ers got their eye on at number 3. But yes,
Mike, do you think it is?
Well, I think it's Mac Jones. I do. You know, I don't know that, but just knowing my friend, knowing his history, knowing his school of thought to make that type of move, that's the one that makes sense to me. And I think it's the one.
Why?
Well, I think it makes sense to him, one, because I think after Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, and you know, I think those are the top 2 guys in the draft, Zach Wilson being number 1, you know, he's the most NFL ready right now. And I would say really Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, to me, are more NFL ready as far as reading NFL defenses and being able to do, you know, NFL offense type of stuff. You know, Trevor Lawrence was in a little bit more of a college-y offense. I'm not trying to disrespect him by that. But I think within that, Mac Jones is NFL ready right now. And I think that's the kind of guy you trade up to number three to get. You don't trade up to a Trey Lance of a, well, he's got great talent, but we're not sure. You know, it's a little bit of a gamble. You know, there's some things that we got to help him out with and grow his technique and figure those type of things out. And I think that goes with Justin Fields too, that it's a little bit more of a project. So I don't think you trade up to a number three pick for that kind of guy. I think you trade up for a number three pick where you go, no, I kind of think this guy, if I had to, could start and play this year, ready to go week one. And that to me smells Mac Jones, because I expect Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence to be gone, of course.
Okay, so Chris Sims says that Mac Jones is the most NFL ready. He can read NFL defenses, and you don't trade up for the number three overall pick and take somebody that you're rolling the dice on. So that's interesting. And let me just go on the record, Laura, because I've been kind of on the, after originally thinking the 49ers would want an athletic, you know, mobile, dynamic quarterback, I kind of switched and I was like, no, this is what Kyle Shanahan values. So I just want to go on the record and say, I don't care who the 49ers pick. I'm not in anyone's camp, but I just think that objectively looking at it, I don't understand the anger on Twitter about just the suggestion that it could be Mac Jones. Here's my take on this is Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in football. There's no question about it. Nobody knows more than Kyle Shanahan about what Kyle Shanahan wants in a quarterback. So if you're a fan of the 49ers, I think that you would just kind of sit back and go, it'd be fun to see him work with this guy or that guy. But if he picks this guy, hey, that's the guy he wants. And so let's roll with it. Now, of course, they can be wrong. Who knows? They could be wrong. But I would think that the fan base would at least be open-minded and say, you know, there's great reasons why you'd pick all these quarterbacks, but whatever Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers decide is the best, or whoever they decide is the best quarterback for them, then that's obviously the best quarterback for them.
I believe that Niners fans do trust Kyle Shanahan. Do you think that maybe some of this mistrust when it comes to the quarterback position is because of how Jimmy Garoppolo has panned out?
That's a good question. I would say the mistrust, or the people who are wringing their hands about the possibility of Mac Jones, I think it stems from 2017. I think it stems from the 49ers not having a quarterback really on their roster. They had Brian Hoyer. At that point, they had Matt Barkley. So they had the two veteran quarterbacks on their roster. And they determined in 2017 that they weren't going to be taking a quarterback with the number two overall pick. Now, as you well know, they traded back one spot. The Chicago Bears took Mitchell Trubisky, and the 49ers took Solomon Thomas. And now, 4 years later, we look back on that and we go, wow, they passed on Patrick Mahomes. And he's the, you know, the main guy. Obviously, Deshaun Watson was in that draft too, but they passed on Patrick Mahomes. And so Mahomes, you know, didn't fit apparently what Kyle thought, you know, he wanted to see from a college quarterback. So I think that's where it is that there's this feeling that maybe Kyle Shanahan gets locked into the quarterbacks that fit exactly what he wants. And maybe he doesn't see the big picture of these guys can do this, but they can also do this. And I think he wants somebody. I think he would love to have a guy who can run around and make plays outside the pocket and pick up huge chunks of yards with his legs. But the number one thing he wants is a quarterback who can run the offense, who can make great decisions, who can deliver the ball accurately and run his offense as it's designed to be run, and not use, you know, the legs as a bailout to make big plays. I think he wants somebody who he can rely on, who's automatic and who gets it and who's well studied and all that stuff, and who's a football junkie. And so that's kind of where I feel about this.
I think there's validity behind people's belief. I do think that's where the root of some of the mistrust probably started. If you pass up on, now hindsight 2020, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, you go, well, what kind of evaluation are we doing of these quarterbacks? I still think it's hard for me to say he should just stick to a guy that can run the system, because you look at Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes can fit in any system. Mm-hmm. There's no arguing that. There's no an argument against that. Patrick Mahomes is going to make any NFL team better. I think everybody, you should never say everybody agrees. Yep. Not everybody ever agrees.
No, but he's like, probably, if you're to have a draft right now, if they disbanded the entire NFL and started a new league and they had a draft, Patrick Mahomes would be the number one pick in the draft.
Surely. And that's where, if I'm a Niners fan and I want to see this team succeed, I would want the availability of that guy. I want the guy that, hey, my offense breaks down for whatever reason. Maybe the defense sees something. I want this guy that can make plays with his legs. I want the guy that can also be accurate with the throws. I want the guy that can follow the offense when everything doesn't break down. But when it does, I want the dude that's going to be able to go run and get the first down or get the touchdown, whatever the case may be. That's why I still hold on to, why would you limit yourself to someone that's not able to do both? Why not have a quarterback that is able to do both?
Well, what I would say to that is that Kyle Shanahan, if they pass on Trey Lance and Justin Fields to go with Mac Jones, Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if he would ever say this publicly, but he would obviously, behind the scenes in the film room, not see the traits of a quarterback that he wants to see in his offense in watching film of Trey Lance and Justin Fields. He would be seeing somebody who maybe doesn't see the game, the anticipation and everything else that he would want to see in his quarterback. And so, yeah, as I mentioned, I did talk to quite a few, three NFL scouts. And one guy was really high on Mac Jones and just said, that Alabama quarterback is pretty damn good. He said he checks all the boxes, smart, accurate, says that he's really good under pressure. You know, he admits that he was surrounded with NFL talent at running back, at offensive line, and wide receiver, and he didn't feel a whole lot of pressure. But when the pressure was there, he did it. You know, he made all the plays. Another scout was just kind of like, yeah, he's okay. You know, he can run Shanahan's system. He's a system quarterback. He's a nice player. He's a game manager.
Nice player.
Yeah, yeah.
Niners fans don't want a nice player.
No, I agree. And so there's that. But what's funny is all of these guys, regardless of what they thought about Mac Jones and his upside and downside, the downside, I think, was generally much higher on him than the other two players we're going to be talking about. But you know, I think there was a consensus that, you know, he probably shouldn't be the number three overall pick, but
for Mac, speaking of Mac Jones,
but for the 49ers, it makes more sense for them to pick him there than any other team picking him that high. But I think the other consensus was that with Justin Fields, like he's so gifted, but you know, there's considerable risk there that he's not a sure thing. That, yeah, I mean, he won the pro day, you know, on Tuesday. You see Mac Jones, you know, make some really nice throws, and you know, you could tell that the coaches love him, the players love him. He's got an infectious personality. And then you see Justin Fields go out there, and he's just like a freaking machine. You know, he's running like the wind. He's throwing these darts. The ball's flying out of his hand. I mean, he's just, He's so athletically gifted. And, you know, if you're picking the best athlete, I mean, we're not even having this podcast. The 49ers talk would pretty much screech to an end if we were talking about just, you know, who's the best athlete, who's the guy you want out there in that circumstances. But it's, you know, it's highly refined, and it's who's the best quarterback for your system. And that's where these NFL scouts believe that the 49ers are heading, that Mac Jones is the more NFL ready and the better quarterback, whereas Justin Fields has the ability, has the potential to be outstanding, but there's a lot more gamble there, a lot more risk that you're taking with him.
Well, that brings up a question for me. I know what the outside world, not scouts, believe about pro days, because we saw the hype on Twitter with what you were just talking about with Justin Fields really impressing on his pro day. How much stock do NFL scouts put into pro days? Because very clearly the 49ers made this trade before the pro days. Yeah. I don't think that the pro days are dictating who they're going to select, but I'm interested to hear, after you've talked to these scouts, how much stock are they putting into the pro day?
I don't think they put anything into it, to be honest with you.
I think that's huge for people to hear.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think for Kyle Shanahan, he'd like to see, you know, he just wants to see if the stuff that he saw in film kind of matches up to what he saw. I mean, we heard him at the press conference on Monday say that when they see Justin Fields at his pro day, he's going to have another one. I think that he expects him to run fast. He expects him to throw the ball very well. And that's what we saw at his pro day on Tuesday. I think that's what we saw at Mac Jones's pro day on Tuesday as well, that, you know, he puts the ball in the money. But I think it's more just kind of, I think they look at other things. I mean, I think a lot has to do with the interviews. Like, let's talk to him. Let's get him up on the board. Let's talk football with him and see how passionate he is. Let's observe him and see how teammates respond to him. Let's see what kind of leader he is and all that. So I think that's probably a bigger thing with the pro day, because we've seen it. We see it every year. Some of the guys who are the most talented, you know, throwers of the football you could ever imagine, they're not good NFL quarterbacks. And it's not because they don't have the physical tools. It's because they don't have some of the other things. And it just takes so much. It takes a little bit of luck. It takes getting in the right system. It takes you have to have a passion for it. And that's the one thing that I find really fun about the NFL draft is, you know, when you talk to guys, you can get a sense for what they're all about. Some guys you walk away going, man, that guy is all about football. He loves it. He's going to do whatever it takes to be a great football player. And if he doesn't get injured and all that stuff, he should be pretty good. Other guys you walk away going, I wonder if it's important to him. You know, I wonder if it's, you know, there are other guys who, you know, have been coddled throughout their career. They've never faced any adversity, especially that quarterback position. Once you're going to have bad times. Now, how do you respond to that? So those are all the things that go into consideration. And so I really don't think the pro day is much of a big deal as far as what the guy is doing, throwing the football, running a 40-yard dash. That really doesn't mean too much. It's the game film, and it's also what people at the colleges are saying about that guy. And just, you know, the physical skills are important, clearly, because you want a quarterback who fits your system. But I think they went there already knowing the football side of these guys, and they just wanted to see maybe the other side of them.
Back to our discussion about maybe some of the mistrust also, some people from what you've said with scouts are saying that the comparison is Kyle Shanahan's already been down this road with his dad, Mike Shanahan, with RG3, and Justin Fields is more of an RG3 type of player, whereas Mac Jones has a little bit more of the same abilities as Kirk Cousins, and we know how high the Shanahans are on Kirk Cousins. I actually found this to be interesting, that Shanahan was asked about Kirk Cousins in Monday's presser, and he kind of went on this tangent praising Kirk Cousins, and he caught himself, you know, saying, oh, I'm praising Cousins. But you can see that exudes out of Shanahan how much affection he has for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, so I mean that's a good point. And you know, Kyle has said recently that, you know, he's more open-minded about evaluating quarterbacks. But I think what you bring up is very relevant. It's an interesting comparison with those four quarterbacks because, you know, there is something there. One of the things about Justin Fields, and he was asked about this at his pro day or after his pro day on Tuesday, is about one of the knocks on him is that he doesn't go through his progressions. And he had a great answer. He said, well, I'm at Ohio State. I play with really good receivers. I never have to go to, you know, numbers 3, 4, 5 in the progression because number 1 and 2 are always open, which is, I mean, it was a great answer.
Valid.
Very valid, very valid. But that's what we're talking about. And it's that kind of next level quarterback play that, heck, we're going to be discussing for a long time. And the other guy we haven't talked too much about, but Trey Lance. And one of the scouts told me that he just thinks that he has this instinctive, like this rare instinct in the pocket where he can feel guys on either side of him. He really has a good understanding of the pocket, but that he's also just really raw. And it would take a long time. You know, he said at least a year to get him up to speed to play at the NFL level. And so
at least a year. Like the 49ers would have at least a year to get him up to speed on everything.
Yeah. So that's interesting, but we're going to be talking a lot more obviously about these three quarterbacks and what the 49ers are thinking, all the smoke signals out there, all the speculation, everything else. But one thing, Laura, we don't have to speculate about any longer is 17 games in the regular season.
This has not been changed in almost 50 years in the NFL. And here we are. I can't wait to get the chance to talk to, I'm going to text some of our colleagues that are former players to get their thoughts. Cause I wonder how they feel about this with all the injuries that the NFL has and how long the season, you hear the players kind of talking about the grind of the season already. I think fans are going to love it. The TV rights people are going to love it. The NFL and the owners are going to love it. How do the players feel about it is what I'm interested to hear.
Well, whenever the revenues go up, so do the salaries. So
that's true.
Yeah. But what it means for the 49ers here in 2021 is that the NFC West plays the AFC North. And so first place team plays the first place team, second, third, and so forth. The fourth place team, the 49ers, play at the Cincinnati Bengals. All the NFC West teams play at the NFC North or AFC North. So that means Seattle's at Pittsburgh, the Rams are at Baltimore, and Arizona is at Cleveland. So I think the schedules will probably be out. We already know all the 49ers opponents for the upcoming season, but the actual schedule, when the dates and times of those games, that should be out in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, you know, we'll be talking about it too.
Yeah, we'll probably be talking about quarterbacks as well.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. I backtrack on everything I said when I said that the over should be set at 3 or 4 or whatever I said that was ridiculous. We're definitely going to be talking about the schedules and we're definitely going to be talking about quarterbacks.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.